You've heard already from Logan earlier in the service today that we have for this year as a church a theme, a focus. It really becomes two words for us this year: intentional discipleship. In 2023, for First Baptist Roswell, our focus this year as a church is going to be spending time, as Logan shared with us, thinking about, exploring, studying, sharing with one another. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? We are all on a journey. We're all on this discipleship journey. We're in different places. We're moving at different speeds. But for all of us, this idea of discipleship becomes critical. No matter where we are on our journey, if we are traveling well and feeling good, we can ask the question, what does it mean to be a more faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? If we've stumbled, if we've fallen, if we're not traveling the way we'd like in our spiritual journey, we can ask the question, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? How can I strengthen my relationship? How can I deepen my walk with Christ? If I've paused on the journey and I'm sitting on the side of the spiritual road resting for a while, I can ask the question, what does it mean for me to be a disciple? Where do I find the energy once again to recommit myself to the task, to the journey that Christ has called me to? It's a wonderful focus for us this year: intentional discipleship. And as we think about that subject, that focus this year, as our attention turns to how can I strengthen my relationship with Christ, as Logan said earlier, in our worship services, our guide for the next several weeks will be the Sermon on the Mount. This morning, I invite you to hear our text for today. It is what we normally call the Beatitudes. It is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. 2 years ago, during the Lenten season of 2021, we focused on the Beatitudes, and we spent time during Lent on each one of the Beatitudes. This morning, our focus is different. Our focus this morning, the Beatitudes serve as our launching pad for the next several weeks of understanding and studying what does it mean to be a faithful follower of Christ. As we begin this study and focus together, I invite you to hear these words, Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. As a minister and as someone who has spent much time in counseling, it is not uncommon for someone to show up at an office one day and say, "I just need to talk for a moment." And invite him to come in, and we sit down, and I say, what brings you here today? And it is not uncommon for the person to say something like this: "I am just not happy. I'm just not happy. What can I do to get my life back on track? What can I do to experience the kind of life that I know God wants me to experience? How can I be happy? Happiness is an interesting subject, isn't it? How many people do you know whom you would truly describe as happy? What really makes us happy? Maybe as we think about this concept of discipleship, we might even want to ask this morning, is that important to God? Does God want us to be happy? And if so, what does the Bible say about happiness? These are important questions for us to consider. I read this week, one person said, "We live under the misconception that every person has the inalienable right to happiness. We believe," the person writes, "that happiness should come automatically in life. It almost seems happiness is something that is owed to us," the person said. So, he continues, "people walk through life laying their hands on everything they can and gather it to themselves and just experience existence, not happiness." And he ends with this sentence, "For the only thing you find in life is existence. Happiness is something you have to create." What do you think about that statement? What do you think about these ideas about happiness and how it relates to the life of faith and discipleship? What did Jesus teach us about being happy and being a disciple? Actually, Jesus had a lot to say about happiness. I would say this morning to get us started. I believe Jesus intended his disciples to be the happiest people in life. But let's be clear. Jesus does not talk about happiness in the same way in which the world defines happiness. The Beatitudes that we read this morning make it very clear that when Jesus is talking about happiness, he's talking about something very different from what the world describes. He's referring to a perspective on living that makes life satisfying, that gives life a sense of purpose, in which we experience peace and contentment and meaning. In our scripture from the Sermon on the Mount this morning, Jesus talks directly and specifically about this kind of happiness and how it relates to the life of a disciple. Now, you may think as you look at this scripture passage, remembering what we read, that it doesn't really seem like Jesus is talking about happiness. The word that often appears in this text, at least in most of our versions of scripture, is not the word happy, it is the word blessed. But in Greek, it's interesting to note, the Greek word makarios is usually translated into English as blessed. But in our context for living today, it is probably better understood as happy or joyful, as we would think about those concepts. This word, makarios, it describes the kind of life we just mentioned, a life that is satisfying, a life that finds contentment, a life that is focused on meaning and purpose in life. So this morning, as we begin thinking about what it means to be a disciple, we look to the Beatitudes as our launching pad to begin to understand how that relates to the life of discipleship. This morning, as we read our text, there are 9 different Beatitudes in the 12 verses of Scripture that we read this morning. It would be very difficult for us to look at all 9 of those this morning. But Dr. Wayne Dahoney, one of my seminary professors when I was in school, he looked at these 9 Beatitudes and categorized them into 4 different categories. So this morning, I want to invite you to think with me about these 4 categories of not only happiness, but also discipleship. The first is this: Jesus talks about the importance of humility. Jesus says, if we want to be his disciple, if we want to be happy and find meaning and purpose in life, we need to be humble. I invite you to remember the first three Beatitudes that we read. Happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are the meek. Jesus said, these are characteristics of my disciples. These are characteristics of people who live and experience a satisfying, meaningful life. I read one person this week said, we step down in a way from the high places in life, and by stepping down, we discover that we actually step up into the life that Jesus wants us to live. Isn't that exactly what the passage in Philippians was talking about that we read earlier in our service this morning? When Walencia read the passage in Philippians chapter 2 that is so familiar to us, what we realize is that's how Jesus experienced this idea of stepping down in order to experience the life that he had been called to live. When Jesus left heaven, Scripture says he did not consider that. He did not count his situation to be a loss, but instead, he became human as a way of living out his calling. The word humble actually comes from the Latin word humus, and it literally means ground. In other words, when you think about the idea of humility, it is certainly the opposite of pride. Humus, the Latin word, literally means being on the ground. Humility is what the Scripture says needs to take place for us to experience the life God has called us to live. Jesus says, happy people, my disciples, are not prideful. Instead, they wash dirty feet. They are servants. They are humble. Humility is the opposite of pride. It is the opposite of arrogance. Jesus was teaching his disciples who gather around him. He says, pride, arrogance says, look at me, look at my high position, look at my authority. But the only way, Jesus says, you understand the life I've called you to live is through humility. We as Christians need this humble approach to life. We need it in our homes. How many conflicts in our homes are rooted in pride? Someone's pride is threatened. Someone's pride is wounded. And conflict develops. Tensions rise. We need humility in the church. How many problems arise in church because of pride? There's an interesting passage in 3 John, verse 9, where John is writing about a situation in the church, and listen to what he says. He says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them, did not receive us. John's writing to a church, and what he says is there are problems in the church because some people are more concerned about their role, their position, their prominence than being a servant. Jesus says, there is no happiness in my disciples. There is no happiness in living a life that asserts your position over others. Happiness comes when you step down, when you are grounded, when you become the servant of others. The happy life of discipleship is rooted in humility. But Jesus also talks about holiness. The life of a disciple, the life of being happy, according to Jesus, is based in humility. It is also based in holiness. Listen to the fourth and the sixth beatitude. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Happy are those who are pure in heart. These two beatitudes teach us that the happy person has a deep sense of holiness. Some people in this world would laugh, scoff at this teaching. There's the idea in the world, how is happiness related to holiness? According to the way the world thinks of happiness, these two things seem to be opposite. Who wants to be holy? Our world says that happiness is almost the very opposite of being holy. I heard about a man who went to Las Vegas, and when he returned, he was asked, "Did you enjoy it?" And he said, "Yeah, it was fun," he says, "but I sure wish I could have spent a week there before I became a Christian. Then it really would have been fun," he said. That's the idea, right? That's the message, right, from the world, that this idea of fun and holiness are at opposite ends of the spectrum. But think about what Jesus is saying here. Jesus says, sin is not the way to happiness. The way of the world is not the way of happiness. If you want a happy marriage, be cautious of infidelity. Be cautious of bitterness. Be cautious of alcoholism. If you want happiness in your job, stay away from being immoral. Watch your tongue of being deceitful, dishonest. Jesus is very clear that according to the Beatitudes, sin leads to unhappiness, holiness leads to happiness. Remember what the psalmist says in Psalm 51. "Oh, wash me, cleanse me, that I shall be white as snow. I have sinned against thee, O God. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." According to the psalmist and according to Jesus, happiness comes through forgiveness, cleansing, pure in heart, holiness. The other thing I see here in the Beatitudes, the other category Dr. Dahoney describes, is that of being helpful. A disciple, a happy person, is a helpful person. The fifth and the seventh Beatitudes teach us, happy are the merciful. Happy are the peacemakers. In other words, happy, discipled, are the people who offer mercy, who create peace in life. These people are much more about giving than they are about taking. Helpfulness. They give mercy. They offer forgiveness. They share understanding more than focused on receiving. Let me ask you this morning, how much mercy have you received in your life? Think about that. How much mercy have you received in your life? We've all received mercy in so many different ways. We've received mercy from others. We've received mercy from our friends and from our family, from our coworkers, from those in the church. But no matter how much mercy we have received from other people, think about the mercy we have received from God. See, the Beatitudes challenge us to give that mercy as we have received it, to accept what Christ has done for us and to share that mercy and that love with others. Jesus is so clear. If you want to know what it means to be my disciple, if you want a happy, meaningful, purposeful life, you will find it in being helpful. Happy is the person who gives of himself or herself more than focusing on what is received. Finally, the last two Beatitudes speak to us about being hopeful. Hopeful. Jesus teaches us that disciples, happy people, are those who are focused on the good that God is working toward. Hopeful people Jesus says, happy, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed, happy are those who are insulted and persecuted and lied about because of their faith in me. In other words, these people are happy not because of their present circumstances, but in spite of them. Their hope, their happiness, their blessedness, their discipleship, their life of faith is rooted in the goodness of God. There's even that reference to the prophets of old. Think about what they experienced in life. Scripture says Jeremiah was scourged. Isaiah was, quote, torn asunder. Zechariah was stoned. We move to the New Testament. Peter was crucified. John was exiled. Paul died for his faith in an excruciating manner. There's no doubt that according to Scripture and according to the teachings of Jesus, life will not always be pleasant. It will not always be what we want it to be. But Jesus is very clear. That does not hinder happiness. That does not hinder joy. It does not keep us from journeying on the life of faith to which God has called us to live. Jesus says the happy person is one who goes through those persecutions and difficulties looking at life with a hopeful attitude. In other words, no matter what is happening in our world today, it is the hope that gives us a new and different perspective. There's a wonderful old Yiddish story about a man who lived in a one-room hut with his mother, his wife, and six children. The hut was filled, as you can imagine, with crying and quarreling and noise and chaos all the time. It was noisy. It was stressful. It was a hard place to live. One room with all of these people trying to live in it. One day he simply felt like he couldn't take it. So he went to his rabbi and he said, "Rabbi, things are bad and they're getting worse. I live in a one-room house with my mother and with my wife and with six children. It's so crowded. It's so noisy. Help me find some peace, Rabbi." "I'll do whatever you say." Let me just pause here for a moment. Don't tell a minister that, right? That's a dangerous thing to tell a minister. Anyway, he told his rabbi, "I'll do whatever you say." Rabbi said, "Okay, do you have a chicken?" The man said, "Yes, I do." The rabbi said, "Take the chicken and bring it inside to live with you and the rest of the family." "Okay," he said. So the man went back and got the chicken, brought it back into his one-room hut. You can imagine that just increased the stress and chaos. So a couple of days later, he goes back to the rabbi. He said, "Rabbi, things are getting worse." He said, "Tell me what to do. What can I do?" So the rabbi says, "Do you have a goat?" "Yes, I have a goat." "And invite the goat to come and live in your room with you." Again, stress, chaos. The man goes back to the rabbi. He said, "Rabbi, I can't take this. What should I do?" He says, "Do you have a cow? Invite the cow into your one-room hut." And the man says, "Okay." And he goes back, and he can only stand it for one day. And he comes back to the rabbi, and he says, "The world is coming to an end. I can't deal with this. This is too much for me. What do I need to do?" And the rabbi says, "Go home now, my friend, and let the animals out of your hut." So the man rushes home, and he did so. And that night was the sweetest, most relaxing, peaceful night he had ever experienced. And the next day, he saw the rabbi in the street and he said, "Rabbi, you made my life so sweet for me. With just my family in the hut, it is so quiet, so roomy, so peaceful." Perspective. here at the beginning of this year. As we read these words about what it means to be a disciple, about what it means to be a happy, joyful, contented, satisfied person, let us hear and focus on Jesus' message in the Sermon on the Mount. For it is this: we can be happy. We should be happy. God wants us to be makarios, blessed, satisfied, content. Not as the world thinks of happiness, no, but happy as Jesus describes it, as a blessed person, as one who looks with a new perspective on the blessings of God and the hope for the future. For today and in the coming weeks, here is our perspective. Jesus teaches happy, blessed, content, satisfied is the person who is humble, holy, helpful, and full of hope. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you have given us so much. And we're reminded this morning that often our focus and our attention turns to the difficulties of life, to the stresses, the challenges, the hardships. Lord, help us to understand this year what it means to be a blessed, happy person. Help us this year, Lord, as we focus in an intentional way on discipleship, to have a new perspective on what it means to be a follower of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lead us and guide us, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.